I love that God's word says we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So just keep smiling when things aren't working out. It's okay. It's all good. Jenny, what book do you think we're teaching out of today? We could. Would you prefer that? Genesis is pretty good, isn't it? I keep finding myself in these stories, though, and I'm not sure I like what I see sometimes. Genesis chapter 30 today, and we're starting, it's on page 45 in your pew hymnal. Pew Bible. Pew Bible, not the hymnal. The pew Bible, gotcha. Lord, help us to have a clear mind and to not only decipher what's in your word, but to explain it with clarity, with a heart that comes from you, God. We thank you that as we look at the individuals in the patriarchal family, that we see there's all kinds of problems. They're just as messed up as we are, Lord. And you still loved them and used them and called them. And we just trust, Lord, that you're a God that's full of grace, a God that can use people that aren't perfect vessels. But then you can take our sin, you can take our problems, our bentness, and you put it all on the cross, and then you give us your righteousness. Thanks, God, for that. I'm sure glad, Lord, that we don't have to count on our own strength to get us into your kingdom. Amen. Genesis chapter 30. I've titled this, God Gives the Increase. There's a couple of sections. We start out with a whole bunch of kids being born, and then there's all of this increase in possessions, in flocks, and male and female servants, and even camels, which was really way up there as far as possessions. There's a great deal of increase taking place in this, and God is not mentioned a lot by the characters here. And I love that when God made a promise to Jacob, he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to continue to be with you and cover you and bring you back into the land of promise. And even though Jacob doesn't always act like God's with him, just like a lot of us don't always act like God is with us, God is still working in us. And he's going to be with us and guide us and direct us and take us to that next step. And he's even going to he'll take all of our mess-ups and all of our problems that every one of us has. If you're perfect, raise your hand and we can trade places real quick here. Nobody? Okay. Some elbows. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to be perfect to be in your presence. Thank you so much, God. He takes these individuals that are clearly messed up. And I don't even see a lot of judgment in these passages. There's just stated facts. Moses, the author of the human author of the first five books, just states a lot of facts. And we get to look at this patriarchal family. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I was going to write a book about how God came to the earth, you know, this is a beautiful story, right? He's going to come as a king. So when he came and showed up in a manger, nobody really believed that was God, except for a few people that had gotten special revelation, the shepherds and some others, the wise men that came and saw him later. But I think if we were writing this book ourselves, we would have made him a king, right? We would have had him in charge. He would have come down and everybody would have known. And, you know, this he would have been on YouTube and all over the place. And it would have been obvious to everyone, this is God. He's come down here. That's how I would have written it. But he said, no, it's going to come through human efforts, some of it. Well, that's the weird part. Why does he even need us or use us? So he calls this family, he calls Abraham, and Abraham, we find out, is pretty good at lying about his wife being his sister and doing other weird things, and he finally has a son. He kind of wished that first son, though, that he had with his wife's servant, his kind of girlfriend, you know, he was hoping that Ishmael would be the son of promise. That didn't work out. And we're looking at this family with all of its flaws, and then Isaac and Rebekah each choose a favorite son, and even though God told them the younger would be served by the older, Isaac, what's he trying to do the whole time? He wants to give the blessing to the older son, to Esau. Have you ever lived in a family that had obvious favorites, or been around a family that had obvious favorites? That hurts if you're not the favorite. And it kind of hurts if you are the favorite, because then nobody else likes you. Maybe you've not been in a family like that, but you've been in a classroom. You're familiar with the term teacher's pet? Brown nosers. You know, there's all kinds of terms we have for those people that get preferential treatment. And I look at this family, and they're all kind of getting preferential treatment, and it's a mess. So here's Jacob, and he knows what it feels like to be the favorite of the mom while his brother is the favorite of the dad, and he still picks a favorite wife. Now, the fact that he's got more than one wife kind of shows he's messed up already, but that had a lot to do with his uncle. His uncle was pretty messed up. We find out that his uncle is really all about Laban. He's just about himself. He has gods, and you can put them in a bag. They're false gods, little idols. So he's gone to Laban's house, and he's worked now. By the time we get here to chapter 30, he's worked for Uncle Laban for 7 years. He thought he was working for the hand of this beautiful young woman, Rachel. Just to get the picture here, Jacob at this point in his life, he's almost 80. Some commentators said he was over 80 by now when they had this wedding. Maybe 85, somewhere in there. He's at least in his late 70s, early 80s. This is an old dude. He's marrying some young ladies because the family decided they wanted to give him Leah first. And then, yeah, you can have Rachel too. And all you have to do is work for 7 more years. So during this next 7 years, this is a lot of what this chapter is about. Okay? You with me? I mean, this is a messed up family. And why did God choose them? Why would he choose us? Why would he look at any of us and say, I can use him, I can use her? If we think we're bringing something to God that he needs, think again. He doesn't need any one of us. He didn't need Jacob, but he chose Jacob. And then he changes Jacob's name to Israel. And the Israelites, the whole nation, gets named after him. And they're supposed to be a blessing to all nations. So I'm going to back up and start in chapter 29. We're on page 44. Let's go page 44, starting with verse 31 of chapter 29. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." So here you've got this wife, Leah, that Jacob doesn't love. And in fact, it's stronger in the Hebrew. It's like he hated her. He despised her. Okay, here's a guy that's sleeping with some gal that he hates. Kathy's cringing about this. This is cringeworthy. This is not a normal story. He doesn't even like this woman, but he's willing to sleep with her and give her kids. And so as we read through here, up through verse 35, she has 4 children by him. This didn't just happen one time in the dark where he was tricked by Uncle Laban. Maybe he's doing it out of duty. But I'm wondering, you know, these 2 sisters, Rachel and Leah, during this time, there seems to be some animosity building. If it wasn't there before, if Rachel and Leah were all in on this plan from the beginning, it's kind of going in a different direction now. Rachel's not getting the blessing she hoped for. Leah's getting the blessing that Rachel hoped for. Leah's not getting the love that she hoped for. Rachel's getting the love. Neither one of them have what they want. And Jacob's just like, "Oh, okay, I'll sleep with whoever." You know, and we find it gets worse. Let's jump to chapter 30, verse 1. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. Instead of saying, hey, this is cool, I've got all these nephews, aren't they fun to hang out with? She gets jealous. So she said to Jacob, here's her solution. I'm not having kids. So she says to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. This is the lady that Jacob loved. I'm sure that he's put out an effort to give her children. Now, I know that this doesn't happen in most families where you love each other, but the next verse, Jacob became angry with her. That never happens in a real marriage, I'm sure. But here, this woman that he loved, she's kind of blaming him for not giving her children. He became angry with her and said, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? He recognizes that he is not in a position of authority or power to determine whether or not his wife becomes pregnant. Now at this point, his dad had had a similar problem because his mom was barren. And back in chapter 25, it said that Isaac prayed for Rebecca that she would conceive, and the Lord heard the prayers, and then she had the twins. I don't see anywhere in here about Jacob praying. He gets angry. Verse 3. Then she said, here's Rachel. The first idea of yelling at her husband didn't work, so she's going to try something else. Here is Bilhah, my servant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me. Or in the Hebrew, that would be to bear children on my knee. So it would be a way that she would say, yes, this is my child. So she's hoping to get a child from her servant that legally would be hers. And I too can build a family through her. So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her. And she became pregnant and bore him a son. So obviously the problem is not with Jacob. You know, give me children or I die. Everyone he's sleeping with is getting kids except for Rachel. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son. Because of this, she named him Dan. It would mean vindicated or he's been judged. This is just weird to me, okay? How many times do we do this? We come up with a boneheaded solution for a problem that we have, and it works. And then we say, thank you, God. God must be in this. Did God tell him to sleep with this extra lady? Did God tell Rachel to give her away? I mean, but God is going to turn all of this for good. We end up getting, again, I mean, this is why, I know this is God's word. I would not have written it this way. There would have been one wife. She would have had 12 kids. It would have been wonderful. Everybody would have been nice to each other. No problems. They didn't need marriage counseling. You know, like poor Isaac. I mean, his dad clearly was going to need some counseling after getting stuck on an altar with Grandpa Abraham. I mean, the family history here is weird. There's no way around it. And God puts it all in here. And Moses writes it all down, and it's like, okay, look how messed up these people are that I chose. There's hope for the rest of us. This is good news. Verse 7, Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won. So she named him Naphtali. They're having a competition. This is my struggle, my wrestling, and she thinks she's won this struggle somehow. Her sister has kids, and now she has kids. Well, she doesn't really. Her servant does. Well, obviously this didn't set well with Leah. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Now, I know a lot of the guys are, you know, they're thinking, well, what a dream. I mean, wow, just keep sending them my way, yeah. You know, what's that song about the Turkish Sultan? Do you remember the song? There's some weird song about, you know, all I want is the harem of the Turkish Sultan. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's like... So, Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And then Leah said, "What good fortune. Look how lucky I am." So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am. The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. Now remember the first four sons she had? She knew they were coming from God, and they all seemed to have something to do with a name that would show some characteristics or attributes of God. God hears, God sees, God is to be praised, attached to God. The first four sons she knew came from God. And now she's in competition with her sister. The little short passage I read from 1 John this morning. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, pride of possessions. Rachel and Leah are caught up right now in pride and who's going to win and who's going to get the most and who's going to be the best. And they're fighting back and forth trying to prove that they deserve Jacob's love. You know what? Neither one of them really deserves Jacob's love. We don't deserve God's love. Verse 14. It gets weirder. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Now, mandrakes... By the way, Reuben would have been about maybe 4 or 5 years old at this time. We're talking about a little kid going out and finding some plants that he liked. They would have like an orangish flower. Sometimes I've been told they have some fruit, but they're more known for their roots. And the roots were considered an aphrodisiac or a fertility drug, which would help you have children. And here's little Reuben out there. He finds these mandrakes. And he picks them like a little kid, and he's having great fun, and he brings them to his mom. How many of us, when we were little, or our kids when they were little, dandelions or some other kind of just noxious weed? Here, Mom, isn't it beautiful? Well, here's little Reuben. He's trying to be nice to his mom. At least there's some good stuff going on in the family here. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." And the reason she would want them is she still hasn't had any kids. And this was considered a way to have children. It was kind of like a black magic type thing, you know, this fertility drug. I don't know how they processed the roots or whatever, but it was well known to be that. And verse 15, this worked out well, this little request. Nice sisters getting along pretty close. She said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband?" Now, there's an interesting statement there. Who took away whose husband? Let's go back to the beginning. Why did Jacob work the first 7 years for Rachel? Who was the husband stealer to begin with? Leah? Now, she's blaming Rachel for taking her husband. She hasn't been able to get her husband's love, apparently, and it continues on as you read through Genesis. Jacob never loses his love for Rachel. He continues to love her, even though they had that one little angry spat. It's okay as married couples to have a little angry spat and still love each other. It's all right. Oh, good. "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" It's kind of a weird comparison, but she's just like, no. Well, Rachel has a better plan. She says, "Well, very well. Okay, you really want that man? He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. I want the mandrakes. I want the fertility drug, and you can sleep with him again." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." I think a real man at this point would have been saying, "What are you talking about?" But he says, "Okay." So he slept with her that night. Apparently, by this point, Leah's been frustrated enough to talk to God, because it says God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Now, wait. She thought she had six already, right? Because of the two from her servant Zilpah. She's only had four sons. It's real clear in Scripture. This is the fifth son. Then Leah said, God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband. She's still thinking because she'd given Zilpah to her husband that God's rewarding her now so she can start having kids again. There's a lot of confusion in this family. So she named him Issachar. Issachar means wages or reward. She thinks she's getting what she's earned or deserves. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor. She was hoping for his love. She wanted his attachment. She wanted him to at least not hate her. Now she's hoping for some honor. Because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Zebulun means dwelling. She's hoping that Jacob now is going to spend more time in her dwelling than he does in Rachel's dwelling. And it doesn't turn out that way. He continues to love Rachel more than he loves Leah. He never liked her. He despised her. But he's willing to sleep with her. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Now, there were other daughters, it mentions in here in another place, that the sons and daughters came to Jacob. But this is the only one that's mentioned by name, and the reason is that there's going to be a conflict with her later. So oftentimes when we get names introduced to us, there's going to be further mention of them. Verse 22, then God remembered Rachel. God had never forgotten Rachel. This has been a long time. God remembered Rachel. He listened to her. Maybe she's actually starting to speak to him, realizing the mandrake thing didn't work. Yelling at my husband didn't work. Maybe I should ask God. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son. Joseph means he will add. She's got faith that she's going to have another son now. And she does eventually have another son. His name's Benjamin, and she dies in childbirth. Now, that happens later. Interesting time period here. This is about a 7-year time period where all of these kids are being born. He's got 11 sons and at least one daughter here, sleeping with four women, having all kinds of issues, but still being a hard worker because he's the one coming in from the fields. The ladies are back in the tents and whatever, kind of negotiating with who gets him tonight, and it's kind of strange. During that whole time, though, it's very clear that God is the one that gave the increase. God is the one that allowed each one of these sons to be born. And in spite of it not being a monogamous relationship, in spite of this being a very confused family, God brought the increase. And from that, from all of this craziness, from all of this sin, from all of these problems, God says, I'm going to build a nation. I'm going to call them my people. And they're going to bless all nations. And that's the story that we get to see unraveled here as we continue reading through Genesis. God is a God that says, yeah, I see all your problems. I'm not blind. How many of us think we can hide our problems from our friends and from our parents? We try. We do. Can we hide them from God? We can even hide our problems from ourselves sometimes. We can convince ourselves that this isn't so bad. This is working. Look how God's blessed me. You know. Verse 25. We switch gears here. And after Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so I can go back to my own homeland. He's going to Laban. He's not asking for anything. He didn't tell Laban, you know, I've worked really hard for you and I deserve more than these two daughters of yours. He's like, can I go now? God promised me that I was going to be taken back into my land. My mom, when she sent me here, said it'd be for a few days until your brother cools off. It's been 14 years. Can I go? He still has a longing to be back where God's called him. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you. I think that's pretty gracious. He's done his time. He's been more than generous with Laban. And all he's asking for is, can I take my family now and go home? But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. That's a loaded statement there. If I have found favor in your eyes, he's been nothing but mean and rude to him. No, Uncle Laban, you have not found favor in my eyes. But Laban throws this weird thing in here. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Divination is spoken against in the book of Deuteronomy. You're not to use divination. It's some sort of a witchcraft or magic that he's using to find out, and it's a true statement, God has blessed Laban because of Jacob. And he's figured that out through some false religion. And then he added, name your wages and I will pay them. How'd that work out last time? If you're Jacob, are you going to trust this man for anything? Jacob said to him, you know how I have worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly. He's recognizing, yeah, you know what? There really has been an increase. There's been a huge increase. And who's going to get credit for that? The Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household? What shall I give you? He asked. Don't give me anything, Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages. Okay, I've worked really hard. I'll take the ones with blemishes. I'll take the ones that aren't the prime stock. That'll be my wages. And my honesty, hint, hint, you haven't been honest with me. My honesty will testify for me in the future, whenever you check on the wages you have paid me. Any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-colored, will be considered stolen. Agreed, said Laban. He's thinking he's got the best of this again. Let it be as you have said. That same day, he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. He separated them so much that none of this stock would be building Laban's flock. Now, usually, if you have a spotted mom or dad animal, you're going to have a spotted kid. That's more likely. I know it can happen otherwise. And God, during the next 6 years, does a pretty miraculous, remarkable thing. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. This is a weird story, okay? There is no scientific evidence that this would be useful at all. Nothing. And here's Jacob, a man of God that God has blessed, and he's even recognized that yes, all of Laban's possessions have increased because of God blessing them while Jacob was there. But Jacob's still going to try to use the worldly methods, just like Rachel was going to try to use the mandrakes. Boy, if I was God here, I would have been like, Jacob, judgment, you can't get anything. I'm going to, you know, well, that's not how God is. God had promised him, I'm going to bless you. He didn't say, I'll bless you if you're perfect. I'll bless you if you earn it. How many of us, even after salvation, we think now we have to try to do something to earn God's favor. He doesn't hide anything in this story. God allows Moses to write in all this stuff about the funny little striped bark and branches. And verse 38, then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches. They bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Thus he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. God brought the increase in spite of, not because of, who these guys were. And God's going to bring the increase in our lives and in our community in spite of, not because of, who we are. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, that you are so gracious and so merciful and so good. I thank you, God, that I don't have to earn merit in your eyes, that you bestow on me, you declare me righteous, knowing the truth that the only reason I'm righteous is because Jesus Christ has covered the blemishes, the spots, the bentness of my life. I thank you for that exchange. Lord, you're good. Thanks for building your church. Help us to stay out of the way as much as possible and to continually recognize that all of the increase comes from you. Your holy name. Amen.